Hello there, welcome along to The Sweet Spot. It's Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer looking ahead to two fantastic tournaments, real crackers this week. And we'll look back on last week. Steve, how are things? How's tricks?
Well, we've been trying to stay serene, haven't we? I mean, I have to be honest, I think HMS Serenity sailed out of port for quite a long spell on Sunday. It was a difficult Sunday.
Oh, no.
I don't know whether you were following the action, but yeah, last week I foolishly said that the Sony Open was as bad as a golf tournament can get. But yeah, the Abu Dhabi Championship was a real tester. Rafael Cabrera Bear was our 110-1 selection. Yeah, between the recording of this and then the publication of this Sweet Spot, Bet365 shunted him out to a dismissive 110-1. So
I think they took some action on the perceived draw bias, didn't they? I think it looked everyone in the afternoon was going to get a bad draw, because I know Morikawa went for he drifted a little, didn't he, as well?
Do you know what I think is? I think it's down to their each-way terms, because their each-way terms are so poor in comparison to the other firms. Yeah, they're call to the five. They're steadfast on call to the five. A lot of firms, yeah, the majority of firms going eight places last week. I think, yeah, they shunted a load of players out, a load of outsiders, and Cabrera Bella was one of them. And he gave us a good run for our money.
Oh, he was brilliant. Really good.
Really
one
shape,
shot off it. I mean, that's one a shot great off effort. It. And a lovely place payout, Steve. It was a really nice place payout, so that was good.
Yeah, yeah, shaved the hole a few times. But then obviously the winner was a difficult one to take. You know, our old friend...
Peters.
TP. Yeah, I was obviously quite disappointed with that. But we are on him for the DP World Tour rankings at 150-1. That's the saving grace. He's top of the DP World Tour rankings now. That's a Rolex Series event. Rolex Series event he's just won. He's down to 22-1 in that market, so...
If you'd fancied him that much, you'd have tipped him, Steve, wouldn't you?
Well, this is it. And there is some positives. There is some positives, because the advice of following the others to note was followed by a chap from... There's some good comments section this week. Do you have a look at the comments section?
I did, yeah.
But Mark Winston, great name, Mark Winston. He backed Thomas Peters last week on the strength of the others to note section and did well. And an even better story. Did you see the story from Suzanne Pettersen? I assume it's not the Suzanne Pettersen. It must be... a YouTube stage name for this person, not the Norwegian golfer.
She doesn't have an E on the end, does she, that Suzanne?
Well, if this is a Suzanne Pettersen, then I apologise, Suzanne. I just thought it was a big coincidence to have a golf name there. But this, if you haven't read that comment section, you've got to read it. It's such a heartwarming story, because he or she has backed Hudson Swafford last week to win the American Express on the basis of watching a year-old Sweet Spot here. So this person has Googled in American Express Sweet Spot.
Oh.
The 2021 version has come up. We tipped Hudson Swafford for 150-1. This person's gone on online, seen 250-1 Hudson Swafford, had £2.50 each way. And
you're kidding me. I didn't see that. Oh, that's
yeah,
incredible.
Have a look. Yeah, yeah. I was so pleased because both winners annoyed me last week. But then I saw Mark Winston and Suzanne Pettersen, and I felt a lot better about things.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, I don't think you should. There's a lot of positives to take out of it, Steve. Honestly, don't worry too much about that. I mean, like I say, if you'd really fancied Peters, you'd have had him in there. He's done you proud on the race to Dubai, so it's all good. It's all good.
There's a lot
of people losing their rag last week, weren't there? John Rahm in America, and our old mate Tyrrell Hatton. I mean, honestly, that little Tyrrell's tirade about the 18th hole. Did you read? We obviously did, didn't you?
Yeah,
read everything,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, but, yeah.
He's
yeah.
laughable, wasn't he? He's going, oh, I might not come back. I hope they drop the bomb on the hole. And
I know.
It's no good, he said. You know, you flash your drive and you've still got 290 to the pin. Mate, welcome to my world. I play holes that are 340 yards and I still have 290 to the pin in my second.
That's
you know?
It. Yeah, yeah. I think a long par five is fine. That's occasional long par
everyone.
Five. You can't make every par five designed for him to reach into. You know, a lot can go wrong on a long par five. You know, I like the potential for a big score on a long par five. So, yeah, I thought they were very inappropriate comments. You know, yeah, considering the sort of instabilities in that region as well, I thought it was out of order. And, yeah, I enjoyed Yas Links. Did you enjoy Yas Links?
Oh, I thought it was a lovely course, yeah. It's not his fault. It's not their fault he took a nine, is it? He didn't hit enough, too many shots.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Don't
I think
blame
it's a good
other
course.
People, Tyrrell. I hope, yeah, it's a lovely course.
They're committed to going back to Yas Links for a few years now, and I think that's right. Yeah, I like seeing the players struggle.
And if he doesn't go because he doesn't like the 18th, because it's all a bit too long for him, don't go. Okay,
yeah,
that's absolutely fine. There'll still be a great tournament there.
No,
so I thought
right.
That was pitiful by him.
Yeah, and John Rahm as well. You say, that's one of my main reasons for avoiding him this week, actually, is because he seems to have started the year really irritable, doesn't he? And angry about everything. Yeah.
Anyone who hasn't seen that, you can't get away with anything these days, can you? Someone with a smartphone filmed him walking from one green to the next tee, and he came up and he swore and he says a putting competition. But yeah, I think he's won that before, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Won it in 2018.
Didn't mind it then, and putting is part of the game, you know. I mean, it's not like putting should be eliminated from the sport. Golf is about putting well as well. I thought it was outrageous, and every putt he hit, he give it that when it missed, as if like, oh, what's gone in? I was supposed to have gone in. I hit it on the right line. He didn't hit it on the right line.
See, you know, Steve, look what happens when you're not calm and you're not serene. Bad things happen. You know?
Bad things happen, and I don't know what's going on with John Rahm. Maybe not getting much sleep. You know, new father, I don't know, but he's too irritable for me at the moment. He's come out of the new year, you know, angry about everything. Yeah.
Mm. Let's review these in slightly more golf focused scrutiny. We'll start with the Abu Dhabi event, HSBC, and as you say, your old mate Thomas Peters, he held it together, and it wasn't spectacular, was it? Someone could have come past him. I think he shot 72 on Sunday, didn't he? Won it by one from Cabrera Bello, and was it Sharma who joined second?
Yeah. Sharma's back.
I mean, the big guns didn't really fire, did they? But Rory came roaring back with an incredible final round, didn't he? But Morikawa just never landed a blow. Hovland was in and around, but a lot of them kept making a big score on a single hole, didn't they? I thought, as you say, a smashing course. What did we learn?
Well, yeah, Morikawa too slow at the traps, because that Thursday was the scoring day, wasn't it? And then you had the brutal Friday. Morikawa missed everything on the greens on Thursday and surrendered his chance very early on. I don't know whether the pressure of world number one possibilities is getting to him. Players in the past have got the jitters when they're potentially world number one for the first time. Maybe that is in his head, I don't know. Victor Hovland, played wonderfully on Paspalum again. He loves playing on Paspalum. Just so many card busters, and a poor chip, chipping's his weakness, and that chip on the 16th ended his challenge. Hovland backers must have been really hurting last week. I think Thomas Peters, I think he you know my feelings on Thomas Peters. I'm not going to resurrect him, but I think he can win majors. I think he can win the Masters quite easily. I think he's a definite runner for the Masters. He finished fourth on his Masters debut. He'll look forward to going back there now. He's winning Rolex Series events. He's confident. He's doing, he turns 30 this week. The world is his oyster.
Yeah, I'm saying nothing anymore. I'm a believer.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're a believer. And then are you a Patrick Cantlay believer? Because obviously that was our, across the
should
pond.
We go across there, shall we?
Yeah, I think we should. I mean, we've got to discuss Patrick.
Cantlay, he shot 10 under to start with, and then he was very scratchy for the rest of the tournament, wasn't he? I mean, he had his absolute mercy, didn't he? And the thing is, Steve, I did your tips and I did each way trebles, and we had the lovely Cabrera Bello. One of the Kims got placed in Singapore, and then I just needed Cantlay to get into the first six, and he couldn't even do that, could he? This silly sausage.
Mate, no, absolute horror story. I mean, he was 10 under par through 13 holes, and he was 18 under par through 72 holes. I mean, talk about pinging the lid, just treading water. And I think he killed a lot of each way doubles because he finished ninth. Most people would have been on eight places. There would have been a lot of Hovland, Cantlay each way doubles that went awry there. It's a shame that. I heard heard what the commentator say that his putter got bent on the way back from Hawaii, apparently.
Oh, really?
He had to get
another putt. One.
That's I can't imagine that was a huge factor.
Not having that.
He didn't hole anything. And then in terms of the American Express, I think the other thing I'd like to talk about is that I think we need to give some credit to perhaps a new factor. I know you don't like the nappy factor, but I think there's a new one we have to start appreciating. Without being too crude, I don't know whether this is the right name for it. Maybe we could come up with something else. But maybe the coffin factor could be... could be a new one, but we have to consider. As punters, you put everything into the melting pot. But I've heard a few winners over recent years now have spoken immediately afterwards about a loved one dying very recently. Henrik Stenson, a close friend, dying before one of his biggest wins. Brandon Grace won very soon after his father died. And last week, Hudson Swafford, I don't know if you saw the interview.
No, I didn't. I put the NFL on the moment it finished. The NFL was brilliant this weekend. But anyway, we should be getting a bit somber. Go on, what happened with Hudson Swafford?
Well, he, in the media conference afterwards, he mentioned that his father died a month ago and how he felt the presence of his father on the course there. He could hear his voice. it helped him stay calm, and he said he knew he was going to win. It was almost like he felt like his father was in charge of the tournament, and he felt he was going to win. So, yeah, there's too many occasions where I'm hearing this now. It can inspire you in a strange sort of way when you've had a recent passing. So,
well, it probably takes all those nerves and those jitters out. It just gives you that focus, doesn't it, and that belief, I guess. But that's lovely, isn't it, that that happened.
Yeah, I was pleased for Hudson. Then I was pleased for Suzanne Patterson, who backed Hudson. So, yeah,
they were. Tipped him last year for it, and someone watched last year's video by mistake, backed the tips. Oh, that's
fantastic, isn't it? £2.50 each way. Would have won about £800. So, good luck to him. And then, Singapore Open, we don't really want to talk about that, do we?
Well, Casey just never got going, did he?
Well, he flopped out the traps, ran on for 16th place. And as you say, Joo-hun Kim. He still looks a fantastic player, doesn't he? But, second place he finished. That's two second places last week. I hope this is not the year of the second place. 2022. Oh, really? There's a lot of twos in the 2022, isn't there?
And a naught.
Yeah, it's got me a bit worried. But, onwards and upwards.
Okay, excellent. Well done. There is one golfer, Steve, I just wanted to ask you about from last week. He holed a putt on the 18th to basically take him out of a logjam at -7 for and it took him to -8 for joint fourth, and that's Victor Dubuisson. And he celebrated that putt like he'd sunk the winning putt. He gave it that sort of downward fist thing and looked up to the skies. He looked really elated, as if maybe he felt like he turned a corner, because he's had such an interesting and sort of up and down career, and I don't know, there was just something in that celebration I thought maybe he feels like he's ready to rumble now.
Yeah. I had a little look at him this week, because it's encouraging when he looks bothered. You say, he's fist pumping, so he's got a bit of passion back. Yeah, the thing with Dubuisson, as we discussed in the past, he's so carefree, but he doesn't really like golf, he doesn't care. But yeah, maybe he's realised that maybe he needs a bit of money again. That's what it all comes down to. And when you're celebrating like that for going up a place and not winning a tournament,
he really did give it the big, and it was amazing.
Well, it's Rolex Series event. Every place counts for loads of money. He can go and buy himself a new Ferrari. He likes his cars. He likes his fishing. He's probably just going to purchase something. But he had a local caddy on the back, didn't he? I noticed. When you're recruiting local caddies, it's not taking it seriously enough for me. I don't. That's what worried me there. I mean, Cabrera Bayo, when he held a birdie on the last for essentially second place, gave it the big. And I just want.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Yeah, mustn't quibble.
Okay, well, listen, well done. I think you got very close last week. Close but no cigar, but you're on the right lines, aren't you?
Yeah, we're getting there.
Have you backed Peters for the... is it called the Race to Dubai, or has it got some fancy name now?
Well, it's called the DP World Tour Rankings, isn't it? And a few firms have raced to Dubai. But Bet365 have updated their prices, and he's 22-1 now, so we've got to be thankful for that. No, I didn't back him, because I go for I just want it here. I want it now. I want it in my possession. But hopefully lots of people did.
Absolutely. Okay, let's look ahoy to this week, shall we? Really, really good golf this week. It's going to be an absolute belter again. We'll start with the Dubai Desert Classic. That starts at 3 a.m. on Thursday. And here we go with another star-studded field. Rory McIlroy heads the market at 15-2. Victor Hovland is 9-1. Morikawa out to 11s. Tyrrell Hatton, if he's dried his eyes enough to be able to see where he's hitting it, he's 16. Sergio Garcia, 22, and it's 25-1. Obviously, they are indicative prices only. Shop around, you may get better each way terms and better win odds. Okay, Steve, where are we this week?
We're at Emirates Golf Club. We went to Pastures New last week, but we're back at an old established venue this week. Emirates Golf Club Dubai has hosted every year since 1989, apart from 2000 and 1999. I don't know why I did them backwards. 1999 and 2000. We've added 71 yards onto the track this year from last year. 7,424, four par five, straightforward assignment. Calm mornings, breezy afternoons. The weather's just always the same here. Yeah, not that breezy. Don't panic.
Okay.
Nothing major.
What's that app that fellow introduces? Windfinder.
I was that fellow.
Oh, so it's you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's just that someone on Twitter sent me a screenshot of the Windfinder for Abu Dhabi. It looked like it was going to be very anti-Morikawa.
Yeah.
Well, we're not anticipating a draw bias, no?
No. 17 mph at maximum. I think
what sort of player does well here?
It's flat greens, powerful players who putt well. Now, all systems go, and we've only got three. Did you ask me how many selections? Three selections, so not many.
No, absolutely. Okay, well, who's going to be the headline selection?
It's a 40-1 chance, and it's Erik van Rooyen. Erik van Rooyen, who's certainly winning in terms of style at the moment. Did you spot him last week?
I didn't see last week, but I noticed last year he's wearing those trousers that come up to your ankles. Like, you don't work in the office anymore. We've got some sort of hipsters all living in Shoreditch and Bermondsey and places like that, and quite a lot of them have trousers that I just considered just they didn't buy them long enough, or they've outgrown them. But he was wearing short trousers and no hosiery. I didn't
see
anything.
Are they wearing them in the workplace, are they? I don't agree with that in the workplace. Oh. I mean, they should be sacked.
Oh, no, it's a shambles these days. They turn up in anything, but they're great workers, so who cares? Uh-huh. Doesn't matter what you wear. What was Erik van Rooyen sporting last week?
Well, he was sporting a majestic moustache. Yeah, amazing sort of, I don't know, I wouldn't call it a handlebar, but it was getting on. Yes, a really impressive moustache. Try and look out for it. It's probably some photos on the internet.
So. I just don't like moustaches. I just can't have them in any way, shape or form. I'm sorry. I've never seen a bloke who looks better with a moustache.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they're mad.
So I used to watch as a kid Magnum PI. Do you remember watching it?
Yes, absolutely.
He wears it well, does Van Rooyen. And, he's walking with a swagger now. He's a PGA Tour champion. It's easy to forget that, but he won the Barracuda Championship in August. So he's well established.
It's easy to forget anything if you mean that.
He'd probably win a PGA Tour event and forget, but
he's
a champion on both sides of the Atlantic now. And he had a great run in the FedEx Cup playoffs. He went all the way to the Tour Championship. He was seventh in the first playoff event. He was fifth in the second playoff event. So, his bank balance is bulging. He had a month and a half off over Christmas, probably counting his money. And then he's come back and he's already played three events. There's not many players who have already got three competitive spins under their belt this year. But he has 25th on his Kapalua debut, decent effort, 20th in the Sony Open, where he closed with a 64, jetted over to Abu Dhabi and finished 12th last week. So he's getting better every week. He's getting sharper every week and potentially peaking for the Dubai Desert Classic. A lot of players still rusty. A lot of players still getting used to new equipment. Rory McIlroy mentioned last week, new free iron in the bag. Cost him a few shots. Van Rooyen has had 12 competitive rounds in good company. And I think the Emirates Club sets up well for him. As we discussed, what a powerhouse who putts well. He's your man. And we know he can perform in the desert. He was second in the 2019 Qatar Masters. He was third in the Challenge Tour Grand Final in 2017, which is in Oman. He's only had a couple of spins at the Emirates, but he's never arrived there in as good a nick as he is in now.
I think we agreed last year, didn't we, that Van Rooyen is a beefcake, didn't we?
Oh, I think he is. He's a beefcake. No, he's one for the ladies. I mean, he had his top off during lockdown playing guitar and stuff, and he was hoeing in the gardens. That was called hoeing when you're moving.
Sifting the top layer of soil around.
Yeah, he was doing something like that with his top. Yeah, he likes getting his top off. And
So on Twitter, he posted a video, or Instagram, a video of him hoeing with his top off.
Yeah, I don't know why that's in my memory. I don't know why he tweeted it, but he was doing something of interest. I'm just looking for punting clues. I just sort of had a quick look at him and said, he looks muscular.
Did you do a hoe analysis like they do a swing analysis? Was his grip okay and the angle between the left upper forearm okay?
He looked fighting fit. So,
okay, I'll check that out.
He's a strong man. Sorry, this has gone down a strange tangent.
Not necessarily. It could be crucial information. Right, so Erik van Rooyen at 40-1 is the headline selection. Then who else have we got, Steve?
I'm going to go with Dean Burmester. Another powerful South African, hits his ball a mile, but he has these spells of fantastic putting. He's one of the best putters on the circuit on his day. So he's got all the tools to destroy the Emirates. He finished third in this tournament in 2020, and he's got three top six finishes to his name in the other Dubai event, the DP World Tour Championship. That's a high-class event. He always seems to do well there. He's already won twice on the European Tour. I could easily see a hat-trick on Sunday. Finished last year really strongly. He won a Sunshine Tour event in November. Then he finished fourth in the South African Open in December. Last week, first start of the year, closed with a 69 for 25th place.
Okay, back the box this week. That's the advice from Steve.
Back the box.
And the third selection.
Third and final is Rasmus Højgaard. I like both of the Højgaard brothers for this. Slightly prefer Rasmus to Nikolai. Rasmus has made the better start to the year. He closed with a 69 for 20th place in Abu Dhabi. Still only 20 years of age, three-time European Tour champion. He finished ninth in last year's Dubai Desert Classic. He followed that up with sixth place in the Saudi International. So he's quickly got used to desert golf, seems to like it. Clearly good enough to win this, yet, you know, an offer at juicy prices. I don't understand why the Hogarths are not getting the respect they deserve. I think they're superstars. I think they're going places. I think they'll win prolifically on this circuit before moving on to bigger and better things.
Okay, let's hope Suzanne Pettersson backs the right one. Okay, it'd be just his or her luck, wouldn't it, to back the wrong one, and then they win based on last week's incredible story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the others to note section will be there for Winston and Co.
Okay, fair enough. Right then. So Rory obviously heads the market. Hovland and Morikawa, so they're those three dominate. If you were going to back one of those three, who would it be?
It'd be McIlroy out of those three, yeah, because his Emirates record is fantastic. Twice a winner there, finished strongly last week. Just the comments about his equipment concern me a bit. He's got a new 3-wood and a new 3-iron, and he hit some destructive shots with them last week. So,
do they use many 3-irons? How many 3-irons would a golfer hit during a week? Two?
It's a ruddy good question. Yeah,
wouldn't be many, would it?
No, that's true. That's true. But yeah, he was on his way to setting a clubhouse target that would have been competitive last week, and then. And then he hit some horror shots down the stretch. So I don't think Rory is quite worth risking at the price. But of those three, he's definitely the one.
Okay. Now, the most important thing to say about the Farmers Insurance, Steve, the American tournament, obviously, is that it doesn't start on Thursday, does it? So let's sound the be careful with your betting times klaxon.
Yes, yes, yes. We should sound that. 5 p.m. Wednesday. Wednesday
can't be
start.
5 p.m. Can it?
5 p.m. Wednesday, yeah, yeah, we're on the west, we're on the west coast.
Yeah, but even if it's a 5 p.m. is 9 a.m. in California.
Yeah, 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 so yeah. Two course event.
Oh, okay.
I think it is 5 p.m.
Okay, I tried to besmirch you there. By
that's
saying,
all right, that's all right. And then the reason for the Wednesday start is your beloved gridiron, you know, the gridiron on Sunday. Is it the Super Bowl or something?
No, it's the semi-finals. It's semi-finals. The championship games, yes.
Oh, there you go. So the PGA Tour, very sensibly, doesn't want to come up against that.
When I went to the Super Bowl, if I might drop that one in 2005, it was the final round of the Phoenix Open on the Sunday. And I remember watching it live before we got the helicopter to Jacksonville from our luxury beachside mansion. And I remember just thinking how weird it was watching like Phil Mickelson in real time at 10 a.m. in the final round of a tournament.
It's extraordinary.
Do you like NFL, Steve?
No.
It's unbelievable.
I remember when I was 10 years old and I was being bullied in Australia at school in Australia. The one thing that got me a little bit of respect from the aggressors was I had a Chicago Bears rucksack. So I was into it when I was 10, and I'll never forget saying, "Oh, look, I've got a Chicago Bears rucksack," and got a bit of respite there because they were well impressed with that. But after that, sort of drifted away from the game. That was the fridge, you know, William Perry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Honestly, I mean, the quarterfinals, so to speak, last weekend, they all went down to the last thing. I mean, the game the final game, the Chiefs versus the Bills, one of the greatest sporting events I've ever seen, honestly. If you just watch the last 5 minutes, that obviously the last 5 minutes takes about an hour, but it was absolutely astonishing. It really was.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't quite get into that. I haven't got enough room in my life for it. I mean, when there's a flag on the play and all that.
I can't. On a Sunday night, though, happiness for me is just sitting in front of the telly, flicking between the NFL and the golf. They're both sort of stop-start affairs with quite a lot of ad breaks, so you can just alternate, you know.
Yeah,
but I must say, Steve, I'm still slightly sort of traumatised by you keep referring to the bullying in Australia. I hope it was just like name calling and stuff. I didn't resort to violence, people giving you Chinese burns and stuff, did it?
That just upsets
me to hear that, mate.
Yes, but it wasn't a good time to be English over there. You know, the world's a kinder place now. I'm not sure what happened these days, but yeah, 1989, they didn't like the Poms. Anyway.
Really?
Yeah, don't get me started. Yeah.
Okay, mate. Okay, right then. Farmers Insurance Open. Let's get the latest betting. 15-2, Big Johnny Rahm. 14-1, Justin Thomas. 20-1, Bryson DeChambeau and Xander Schauffele. 22, Hideki Matsuyama. 25-1, Dustin Johnson is back. He's 25s, and so are various others. A really, really good field. Very deep field, this, Steve, isn't it? So we're at an iconic venue, one of the best golf courses in the world. Tell us all about it.
Well, we had two course event as discussed, Torrey Pines South and Torrey Pines North, San Diego, California, IA. The south is 7,765 yards, the longest course used for a PGA Tour event that's not a major. The north is 7,258 yards, both par 72. The south usually plays about two shots harder than the north. The south has hosted two US Opens, 2008, the greatest major in history, won by Tiger Woods on a broken leg, and then 2021, won by John Rahm on a fully functioning leg, two fully functioning legs. Two amazing US Opens have been staged at this course. We're going to have calm and relatively cool conditions throughout this. I reckon about 15 under par will win.
Oh, it's the course, isn't it, where they often intersperse the action with shots of just name the things they show. They'll show people windsurf, paragliding.
Yeah,
you'll probably get a whale, won't you, swimming on near the surface.
And get a marine layer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, you will. And you'll also get smug-looking people in really expensive, like, craft out to sea, like, enjoying themselves and looking beautiful and making us all feel jealous.
That's it, yeah. Hate seeing people enjoying themselves, don't you?
No, I don't, but I just sort of, I don't know, I'm sitting there on a Sunday night freezing in England, and there they are in, like, you know, San Diego, sunning themselves and drinking champagne. But anyway,
we must add actually about that marine layer. If anyone's panicking, they've just tuned into this and it's like 5 p.m. on Wednesday and they're thinking, oh no, I've blown it, there might well be a marine layer that delays play for an hour or two. That often happens in this.
Yeah, you can't bank on a marine layer though, can you?
Oh, you can't bank on
a sentence I've never said before. How many selections, Steve?
We got five. This is a really hard tournament to whittle
five
it down.
Used to be standard fare. Now you've been very sparing these days. I don't quite know why, but five. Right then, who's the headline selection?
And the headline selection is a player I've not backed that often, but I have to back him for this. It's Tony Finau, or Tony Finau, however you want to say it. Tony Finau.
You said both of them exactly the same there.
Oh, did I?
You said Tony Finau or Tony Finau, however you want to say it. So we'll go with Finau for now.
I just encourage people to go with whatever feels good for them. You've got to be back in big hitters this week. Yeah, the honours board at Torrey Pines speaks volumes about how crucial it is to hit the ball a long way. The statistics annually back that up. Torrey Pines South, as I say, the longest course on the PGA Tour outside of the majors. Tony Finau loves it there. He was 24th on his Farmers debut in 2015, and that's his worst performance there. Since then, his form figures are 18-4, 6-13, 6-2. Tied for second place last year. This time, crucially, he tees up as a two-time PGA Tour champion for the first time in the Farmers. You know, that was a huge monkey off the bat there. Again, there's a big gap between win number one and win number two, and it's not like win number two was a rubbish event. Win number one was the Puerto Rico Open, the Puerto Rico Open, the Puerto Rico Open, however you want to say that. But this was a FedEx Cup playoff event, the Northern Trust, where he saw off John Rahm and then he beat Cameron Smith in a playoff. So confidence has never been higher for Finau. Tee to green, he should make merry this week. If he holds a few putts, he could be lifting the trophy on Sunday. He got better as the week wore on in the Century Tournament of Champions. He closed with a 65 at Kapalua. Same story in the American Express last week. Slow start, strong finish. I think he'll get out of the traps a bit quicker at Torrey Pines. And it's also worth noting that his one win on what is now the Korn Ferry Tour was in California.
Okay, excellent. And again, if you've never read it, I urge you to go onto Google and just read the Tony Finau life story. It's absolutely incredible. Born into poverty, had absolutely no practice facilities. I think his dad used to set up this kind of sort of makeshift driving range in the backyard with an old mattress or something. And him and his brother used to just pelt balls into that. You know, they were absolutely potless. And now he's a multimillionaire, he's a tour champion, and he's happy as Larry. So
give his mum some credit as well. I mean, she was a massive driving force and in encouraging him to become a professional golfer. You know, because it's a big leap, isn't it? Yeah, you think of a poor family, a big leap of faith to say, go on then, go for it. And she did that, and she tragically died at the age of 47. He's doing a lot of this. He's doing a lot of this for his mum. And while we're on the subject of death, you know, there's been a lot of death in this podcast, I'm afraid, but you know, it's one of the harsh realities of life. the coughing factor might be in play as well. A month ago, Tony Finau's father-in-law died.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, anyway, he's a smiley kind of character, so let's hope he's wearing that nice big grin on Sunday evening as the winner of the Farmers Insurance. Is it is Farmers Insurance a company run by, like, Brad Farmer, or is it an insurance company specifically for farmers?
I don't think if it was an insurance company specifically for farmers, they surely wouldn't have enough money to host a, you know,
a lot of farmers.
Sponsor a PGA Tour event. I suppose there are a lot of farmers. No, I haven't looked into it.
Well, while you're telling us about your second selection, I might just research.
Yeah, you look into that.
Farmers
I'm
insurance.
Genuinely interested in that.
Okay, yeah, mate. Really. Right, so who's the second selection? You can be as verbose as you like here.
The next best is an old friend of the podcast, Sam Burns. Driving the ball, extremely important this week. Strong ball striking is the key to success. And a feature of Burns' rise into what is now the higher echelons of the world rankings has been rock-solid driving. He's been so tight from tee to green. He won the Sanderson Farms Championship in October, despite putting really poorly. He's played five events since the Sanderson Farms. He's finished in the top 20 in all of them. He was fifth in the CJ Cup, third in the Hero World Challenge. Sam Burns oozing form and confidence, and the Century was an ideal pipe opener for him. Tournament of Champions debut, of course, because he didn't become a PGA Tour champion until May last year. So understandably slow start at Kapalua, 72, followed it up with a 64, a 68 and a 69. Christmas rust eliminated. And he's ready to rumble at Torrey Pines, where he was third going into the final round last year. As a maiden, remember, and dropped away, understandably finished 18th. If he gets in contention this time, I think he'll stick around.
Okay, I have no idea even who you tip, because I was researching Farmers Insurance. Who was it?
It was Sam Burns, but
Sam
Burns. Is it for farmers?
No, it's not. It's a standard insurance company, home, motor. It's like, you know, Admiral or Go Compare, basically. So, yeah.
They just think Farmers is an attractive name.
It's just called Farmers, yeah.
I suppose everyone likes Farmers, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I wonder if the marketing, you know, like Go Compare have the big fat fella, don't they? And and who's the one with the meerkat? So I wonder if the Farmers insurance ad campaign has like a sort of jolly farmer, you know, with maybe a piece of corn sticking out of his mouth or something, just advising you to be insured with Farmers.
Yeah. It would definitely lure me in. Oh, I love Farmers. There's a young farmer not far from my house. Obviously, I live sort of farm territory, don't I? And there's a young farmer there. He always waves at me and smiles
really?
At me. And like, yeah, because during lockdown, when you couldn't really do anything.
Is this when you're walking up to the pylon?
It's the other way. Actually.
Absolutely gutted, tears streaming down your face. And you've got this farmer. Hello, mate. How are you?
He's really happy. I think that's a job that does make you happy, doesn't he? Been outside all the time and
I don't know about
playing with the animals, but he's a really jolly farmer. During lockdown, when you couldn't do anything but go for a walk, this is a 5-minute walk that way. I used to take my daughter up there and we used to go and look at lambs and cows and whatnot. Every time he'd come and have a chat and say hello and
he was definitely the farmer himself, not like a farm hand.
He was ushering the cows which way, this way and that, and he'd say, "Yeah, oh, there's some over there. If you want to go over there, there's
no way.
There's a horse over there." Yeah, I don't know why I'm talking about this, but I've just got a real positive association with farmers. I know I said everyone likes farmers. That's probably not true, is it? Your vegans might not agree with that.
I watch a fair bit of Countryfile, and they're always moaning about their lot. How, you know, EU subsidies have fallen, and you know you're getting imported barley from Romania now and it's cutting the price down. I don't know, I have a slightly different perception, but you're out there, you're in a more rural location to me, so
yeah,
I suppose
yeah.
You've got more real-time experience, haven't you?
He might be the exception to the rule, but I think it's a tough game. Yeah, I think you're right, there are some problems for the farmers, farming community.
But I'm glad you've got a jolly farmer next to you. That's great news.
Yeah. I throw my support behind him. I love eating beef. I'm going to eat beef to the day I die.
Fair enough. Okay. So we've got, I've completely forgotten, we've got Tony Finau, we've got Sam Burns, and we've got three other tips.
We've got three others, and another old friend of the podcast, who I think will win, almost certainly win at some point, is Will Zalatoris, who's still a PGA Tour maiden, incredibly, even though he's Rookie of the Year, wherever he was. And we backed him for this last year, and he finished seventh. And I think this is the perfect event to be back in Will Zalatoris. He's a Californian, he said how much he loves putting on Poana Greens, Torrey Pines South Poana Greens. Brilliant ball striker who's fully rewarded by the severe tee to green test. And this year he arrives in particularly fine fettle, I think. He admitted he was rusty last week. He had a first round 71 at La Quinta Country Club. We said how important it was to get off to a fast start. If you, when you're playing La Quinta, the easiest of the three courses, he shot a 71 there. The next day, he shot 61 at the Nicklaus tournament course. So, you know, immediately got the rust out of his system and then boom, 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 finished with seven birdies in that round. He ended the tournament in sixth place and he's been waxing lyrical about his new driver. In the off season, he started experimenting with a longer shaft in his driver. He says he's added 12 yards of carry to his drives. He's also bulked up a bit. He's added 15 pounds of extra muscle over Christmas. And he was the fifth longest driver last week in the American Express. So power, a really important weapon at Torrey Pines. Will Zalatoris surely goes well.
Okay, mate. Fair enough. I've just noticed a nice blackbird on my bird feed. Didn't you get a bird feed? I'm downstairs. I normally do it upstairs, but I've had to relocate. So did you not get a bird feeder at some stage last year?
Yeah. We've had two bird feeders and they've gone for two different reasons. The first bird feeder was eliminated when Nicola got wind that debris comes out of the bird feeder and attracts rats who then come and eat.
I've seen no evidence of that.
My wife has a phobia of rats, serious phobia of rats. Start sort of crying when she gets anywhere near a rat. So we had to get rid of that one. So then we put it high up, perched it high up in a different location where the debris would fall onto a windowsill. And then strong winds blew it off and smashed it to pieces. So, yeah, we're trying to feed the birds, but we're not having much luck.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sure if a rat wants to come into your garden, it'll do so for reasons other than debris from, I don't know, peanut husks or something.
Yeah, I don't mind rats, but yeah, the wife's got a real... I like hedgehogs. You like hedgehogs?
Oh, God, yeah, but they're really declining, aren't they? There's only a million left.
Really? In the whole world?
No, in Britain.
A million left in...
I know it sounds like quite a few, but...
No. You'd expect more than that. How many pandas are left?
The pandas are doing okay. I read in the Times on News Day, they did a good news roundup from 2021. I thought, this is fantastic. And every single excerpt was brilliant. And one of them was that the panda is no longer an endangered species in China. All those years of worrying, watching Blue Peter and getting all down about the pandas.
Yeah.
They're fine.
They've been mating, have they? Sorry, yeah. This is big news because I've been telling my daughter that the panda is going to become extinct. Is that not true?
No, apparently not. Apparently they're back, so that's all good news. Oh, right then.
Fantastic.
Fourth selection.
Mark Leishman. We've already been on him for the Sony. Didn't do a lot wrong. Very, very, very cold putter. Which was disappointing, but he's a former Farmers Insurance Open champion. He repelled John Rahm to win this in 2020, and that win had been coming because Leishman's been a leadable regular at Torrey Pines for years. He was second in 2010, beaten by just a shot. He's been impressive for about 4 months as Leishman. He was fourth in the Fortinet Championships in September. That's another California event. He was third in the Shriners, played all right in the Hawaii swing, but they were sharpening him up for this one, which is one of his favourite events.
And what price is he roughly, Steve?
35 to 1. The early 40s has gone. And the final one is 100 to 1. A compatriot of Leishman's, Cam Davis. Another player I've liked for a long time. We had an Aussie winner of the first PGA Tour event of the year. I think there's a fair chance of another one this week. I mean, this is a good field. The market is stacked with quality at the top. There's lots of good options at the top. But I think Cam Davis, it won't be long before he is, becomes a market principal. He's full of talent. He's got one of the best swings on the circuit. Our mate Craig Perks, we love Craig Perks. You ask him who's got the best swing on the circuit, he says Cameron Davis. I can see why. It's beautiful. It's effortless power. He got his first victory of his career on the PGA Tour last year in the Rocket Mortgage, and he came close in the American Express last year. Finished third last year in a California event. So he's played four Farmers Insurance Opens, made the cut every time. I think he's good enough to win it now.
Fantastic.
Quite encouraged by what I saw on the Hawaii swing from Davis.
Okay, matey. We better have a little chat about John Rahm and his chances. 15 to 2, was that a price that got you thinking?
I think it's fair, but not attractive. I mean, you know, his course history here is obviously amazing. His maiden PGA Tour title came in this in 2017. He won the US Open there last year. So, yeah, he's got lots of magical memories around here. But, I don't like the way he's conducting himself. I think he's come out a little bit irritable this year. And I can avoid him at those prices.
All right, then. Let's recap. Dubai Desert Classic. Three selections.
Erik van Rooyen, Dean Burmester, Rasmus Højgaard.
And the five in the Farmers.
Tony Finau, Sam Burns, Will Zalatoris, Mark Leishman and Cam Davis.
And don't forget, the Farmers starts on Wednesday. Don't disappoint, okay? Oh, don't disappoint yourself by being a day late.
Don't dither.
Okay, Steve. Yeah, exactly. Don't dither. Don't dilly-dally. Right then, what else have you got between now and next Tuesday when we convene again?
Well, I'm hoping to attend a football fixture tonight if I finish working time. Weymouth versus Dagenham and Redbridge tonight. Weymouth have got a new manager in place. You may have heard of him. You may have heard of him. David Oldfield. Yes. Used to play for Man City.
Absolutely,
scored two goals in the Manchester Derby once. Yeah. So,
Knocking on now, David Oldfield. Was he Australian?
Yeah, yeah. Born in Perth. Born in Perth. Yeah.
You can have a chat with him. Perhaps he bullied you. He might have been one of the bullies.
No, he's about 15 years older than me. No, it wasn't him. No. I'm fully behind him. I'm a member of Oldfield's army. I really like his comments. He got a brilliant away draw at Boreham Wood on Saturday.
Lovely.
Yeah, we're 8 points off the safety places.
I went to a non-league game on Saturday. I went to Margate versus Corinthian Casuals. I've got a friend who's a Corinthian Casuals fan, and I was down that neck of the woods. And yeah, we went to Margate Corinthian Casuals. It was excellent. Really enjoyed it.
Not only football's where it's at.
It's brilliant. It is, honestly, Steve. It was £12 to get in. You can walk all around the ground, go to any vantage point. You can get a beer, food, stand there, have your beer while the game's on. Absolutely.
You haven't got to worry about your VAR. You ain't got to worry about your VAR.
No, you don't.
Yeah, that's the key. That's why I love non-league football more than anything else now, because you can get VAR ruining your matches.
Honestly, I mean, I'll give a rare tip on the sweet spot. If you've never been to a non-league game, go and you'll think to yourself, yeah, this is a new dimension in watching football. Absolutely great. Salt of the earth characters and decent quality as well. I enjoyed it no end.
And so if a goal scored, you can celebrate it. You know,
exactly.
Because you haven't got to worry about cameras. I hate VAR. I probably hate it as much as you do.
Talk to me about VAR, about that abomination at Selhurst on Sunday. It was appalling.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, David Oldfield, new manager, and hopefully you can keep us up. Big, big challenge, but we're all behind you, David. We're all behind you.
Brilliant. We're all behind you this week, Steve. Good luck with your selections. We're back next Tuesday to look at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am and the RAS Al-Khaimah Championship. Bet responsibly, hopefully back a winner or two. Join us next Tuesday for another Sweet Spot.